Today we're going to talk about who we are and what we're about as Milestone Church. And just really wanted to the climax, the pinnacle of this series, Milestone. You know, this is a whole new day, whole new era. We are a new church. We have three campuses. We have a plethora of giftings and people, and it's just so exciting what God's doing. And so we just wanted to kind of have this big moment where we just lay it all out on a Sunday morning where everybody can know what we're about and who we are. And you have the option, if you would like, after the service, to fill out that paper and join us. Okay, normally in the past, we've had a 45-minute meeting after church, and we just really felt like, you know what, we just want to lay it out there on a Sunday morning for everybody, and I'm going to go over everything, and then you can pray about it. You don't have to do it today. You can take the paper with you, but we want to give the opportunity for those who have, you know, who have wondered and had questions, this and that. We want to lay it all out so you can think about it. Now, guest, obviously, you don't, you know, this is your first or second time here. You do not have to fill that out. You don't need to fill that out. You can take more time to be here. If you are already a partner, I would ask that you fill it and reaffirm in this new season. We want to update everything. You know, we want a whole new list of, we want to better serve you and your family. So we'd like to update information and just know where everybody's at in this new day and time. So if you're with me, say, I am. All right. Now you may say, why do we use the word partner instead of member? And that's what I'm just going to share real quick before we start. We have something on the screen here, and this is just a little, we're not just trying to be cool, okay? Most churches you go to, they say you have membership. But here's some reasons why we like to use the word partner on purpose. When you're talking about being a member, there's a sense of entitlement. It's like, hey, I'm a member here. I have rights, right? But partners, it's about sharing in the vision. You know, members, it's you get a membership card. Partners, I have a responsibility. Members, I'm a fan. Partners, I'm on the team. Members, if I'm not there, someone will take my spot. Partners, they are counting on me. Members, I enjoy the benefits. Partners, I share in the cost. Members, I got a free t-shirt when I signed up. Partners, part of a family. Members are interested. Partners are committed. And so that intentionally, you can imagine yourself how that fleshes out in every, so many different ways, so many different areas of being a church family. You know, to be part of a family, it takes responsibility. It takes buying in. It takes being all in. It takes, you know, it's kind of like we talked about last year in one of our messages, Thanksgiving dinner. You know, it's not, you know, you just, if you're in a family, you just help out. No one's like, well, they didn't even ask me to cut the turkey. You just jump in and do your thing. You help out. It's family. And so that's kind of, you know, the way we do this. And the prerequisites for becoming a partner are two things. One is you have a commitment of faith to Jesus Christ. You've given your life to Christ. And two is that you've been baptized. Those are the two things. You know, we want to keep the main thing the main thing. And we want to remove any obstacles we can, unnecessary obstacles. And so these are the two main things that if you do that, you are allowed to join us and be part of us. Now let's pray and let's just ask God to bless this time together. Father, we thank you for this time. God, I thank you for every person here today. I pray that, God, you would speak to every heart, that right now your mind is set on every heart in here. And so, God, do what you're want to do. Do your Holy Spirit's work. Just let your Holy Spirit move. And God, just speak and draw. And Father, if touch them in ways, even if it has nothing to do with anything that's said today, God, just make yourself known. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many had a crazy week this week? Raise your hand. Like, this week was epically nuts, okay? Personally, I was in and out of the doctor's office with my 6-year-old Gideon. He was breaking out for 5 days in a row in hives randomly. Now, I don't know. If you have kids, that's, like, scary. That's like a panic. You know, it's like, what? And, like, he go to bed, and he come in there, and he's covered in red dots everywhere. And it wasn't chicken pox. And I was freaking out. Sandra's freaking out, you know. We had that. It was like a roller coaster all week. And so that was crazy. But then the only thing worse than that is I turn on the TV and the news. And I'm like, I think the world's gone nuts. Even more so. Like, so, and I'm not trying to stir up any hate. I'm just going to say it like it is, okay? You know, New York, they passed this abortion bill that you can now kill a baby up till the day it's born for any reason. And that just broke my heart. Like, I'm like, I really don't believe that guy has any clue what that's going to do. I don't think he really fathoms what that means. And that should break our hearts. And we should pray. We should pray for God. I just said, God help us all. That's sad. That's crazy. Well, then my wife's from Venezuela, and I always keep up with Venezuelan news, and they have a dictator down there who it got really unsafe. I've not been back there in probably 4 or 5 years because it was very dangerous, and economy's falling apart and all this and that. Well, this week they decided that they're going to overthrow him, and they just elected another president. So there's two presidents currently in Venezuela, and they're trying to fight for power. I was like, this is nuts. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm for the new guy, the dictator. I definitely got to, he's got to step down at some point. But I was like, this is crazy. And then I think the craziest one of all just happened, and this may just be me. But Lady Gaga comes out and slams Mike Pence and says she is a better, quote, she is a better Christian than him. I thought, oh, she said, I'm a Christian woman. And I'm a better Christian than he is because his wife works at a Christian school where they believe homosexuality is a sin. And I was just like, that's it. Jesus, come back. We're all nuts. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just gone. And it's been a crazy week. But here's the thing. It's like, I was thinking, the governor of New York, like, or the dude who passed the bill, I don't know if he really knows. I don't think he really fathoms what the implications. These presidents in Venezuela, I don't think anybody has an idea of how much bloodshed is about to go down. It's going to be ugly, okay? And then Lady Gaga, I don't think she has any clue what it really means to be a representation of Jesus. Now, and I'm not trying to slam her. I'm just saying literally this is my thought process this week was like, I just don't think they understand. And so what we wanted to do today is we wanted to make sure that if you're a part of this church, you understand. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to just be like, well, I go to that church, you know, they're nice people. You know, we want you to understand. It's kind of like if you're like, hey, I'm a communist. Well, why are you a communist? I don't know. What do communists believe? I don't know. But I'm a communist. You know, a lot of us who grew up in the church, I think that's how we were, is like, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, whatever. We don't even know what that means. That was where we were raised. And so I really want to talk about who we are and what we're about, so everybody can know and we can have clarity as we move forward together. So here we go. The first thing we're talking about is Milestone Church, who we are, what we value. The vision is this, to create environments where those far from God can be filled with life in Christ. That is the goal. That is the big picture. That's where we're wanting to go. We are wanting to reach all those in our communities who are far from God, who need Jesus in their life and see them filled with life in Christ. Now, someone's accused us before of not caring about church people. Now, here's the thing about that, is that the greatest way church people grow is reaching other people with the gospel. You can sit around and have your small group Bible study and talk about what it means and then go out and not ever reach anybody in the world. And we can do that until Jesus comes home. It's kind of like spiritual post-traumatic stress disorder, like we bunker down and wait on Jesus to save us. But that's not what Jesus called us to do. And so I believe it's both. It's we grow together and we go out together and we reach people together. Okay, so that's the vision. Now, the mission of how we carry that out is this. We call them the three C's. We wanted something very clear, a very clear path to help us grow spiritually and be healthy so that God could just do mighty things through us and in us. And these are the three C's: celebrate, connect, and contribute. So celebrate is what we're talking about right now. We come on Sunday mornings and we worship and we celebrate Jesus together. We celebrate what he's doing. We may cry together. We may mourn together. But you know what? We will come out celebrating that we don't have to mourn alone, that we don't have to carry our burdens alone. Okay? So we worship and we come to celebrate. That's the first thing. The second thing is connect. We connect in groups. And in groups are so important. Authentic community in the scriptures. If you read the New Testament, authentic community, even the Old Testament, authentic community is where God does the majority of his work. There's very few Lone Ranger Christians that grow, all right? It's always the church, us, the my family, my brothers here, we send our greetings to you. It's always a group of people following Jesus together. And authentic community is key because it makes us get out of ourselves. It makes us allow others in, and not just so they help us, but we help them. It's not about us. So we connect. And then third is we contribute. That's serving and giving. That's time, that's money, that's resources. It's we give to the cause. We contribute. We are partners. We're part of the family. We make the mission go. We do our part. That's the three C's. That is the mission that we carry out our vision. And now we're going to get to our values. And this is where I'm going to spend the bulk of time today is the values. We all value something. In your life, you value something. As a parent, you value. As a kid, you value. As a worker, you value. As a church member, you value. As a spouse, you value. We all have different values and different things. But as a church, we have values as well. And here's the important thing about values and why I really encourage you to really dig down and find your own. I've been doing this exercise over this past year about really nailing down, deep down, what are the values that drive my life? Like really getting them out and putting them on paper. It's been a real growing experience for me. But values help drive our decisions and make the right ones. And so if we have the wrong values or we don't understand them, we may make decisions that blow up in our face and we don't really know why. We need to really know what our values are. And so today we're going to look at the values of Milestone Church. And there's five of them. And this, if you have your notes, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. There's five of them, and we're going to just walk through them. And I want you to know that these are not all-inclusive in the sense of, I didn't put the normal ones you would expect, like we value the Bible. I hope you know we value the Bible. Okay, I hope you got that, all right? We value Jesus, we value the church, we value God. Okay, so, but I'm going to walk you through these here. Number one is this, here's what we value. And these values keep us on the path that God has set for us as a church. Our path that God has laid for every church is different. It's not better or worse than any other church. It's different. And for us to stay on our path, here's the values that are going to keep us there. Number one is Jesus first in all things. Everything we do is Jesus first in all things. This verse in Colossians 1:15, it says this beautifully. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I'm going to repeat that real quick. In him, in Jesus, all things hold together. If your marriage is holding together, it's by the grace of God. If your children are holding together, it's by the grace of God. If your job is still there, it's by the grace of God. If your lungs are functioning correctly, it's by the grace of God. All right, all things. You know what the Greek word for all is? All, exactly. All things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, the head of the church. So imagine with me, we're drawing this big org chart, organizational chart. So who's going to be at the head of the org chart? Jesus. What about creation? Creation in the universe and all the mountains. Who's going to be at the head? Jesus. All right, what about the church? Who's the head? Who's going to be the head of the org chart? Jesus, okay, are you catching on with me? Who's going to be at the head of the chart of your family if you want your family to be healthy and going in the right direction? Jesus, who needs to be at the head of the org chart in your personal life? Jesus, okay, you with me, all right? Jesus above all things. And that is the path that if we want to really grow and learn and see what all God can do in our life, that's how it has to be. Keeping Jesus first matters at Milestone. Now, I want to say this too. None of us in here, including me or any of the other pastors on staff, can do this perfectly. Can you say amen? Can you breathe a little bit? Like, whew, that's a high bar. Progress, not perfection. No one can do it perfectly, but we can grow in it. And we can progressively walk more with Jesus and put him first in our lives. Okay? Progress, not perfection. My prayer is that every person that's at Milestone, that in a year from now, you can look back and go, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. but praise God, I'm not what I used to be. That should be our prayer. Because guess what? If anybody actually made it to perfection, then you don't want to be at this church because we're going to bring you down. All right? And nobody but Jesus is perfect. So let's move on. Here we go. Number two, excellence. This one's very close. Excellence. We do everything in excellence. And I hope you can sense that. We try to do everything in our best power to honor God. Sometimes that's hard with church planting when you do everything with duct tape and you don't have, you know, millions of dollars. But we do the best we can to do everything in excellence. And there are a lot of things you can do in excellence that don't require money, like punctuality. You know, being faithful, being on time, doing those things. We do everything in excellence. Check this out. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Whether you're changing diapers, change the crap out of those diapers for Jesus. All right. If you're building a house, you build that house like Jesus is moving in. If you're handling multi-million dollar deals, do it with integrity for Jesus. If you're teaching a bunch of pagan children, maybe not pagan children, but you know, that's how you feel when you're a teacher. Bunch of hoodlums. There you go. Better word. If you're teaching a bunch of hoodlums, do it with patience and grace for Jesus. Whatever you do, do it for Jesus. And no one has said it better than Martin Luther King Jr. And I want you to hear this short audio right now. Let's play it.
What I'm saying to you this morning, my friend, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, go on out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on the top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are.
Is that good? That gets you fired up right there, huh? Woo! Hey, I love that. Be the best at whatever God calls you to be. So excellence is number two. Number three, generosity. We value generosity. We want to lead the way in generosity at Milestone Church. And when we think about generosity, really, it's all about being like God, if you think about it. God so loved the world that he gave his son. There's other scriptures that really capture it, that we are like God when we lovingly give and help people. 2 Corinthians 9 says this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. You know, when you read that and you hear that, you think about, you know, there's two type of category that Paul puts everybody in. It's either the ones who sow little or the ones who sow a lot. But there's no category for those that don't sow at all. And I find that interesting because we are constantly sowing to something. We are sowing to something. Like what you value is what your time is spent on, is what your passion is focused on, and is what your money goes to 99% of the time. So I would ask you, if someone followed you around for a week, if someone snuck into your checkbook, if someone asked your kids questions because they always tell the truth, what would they say you value? Just think about it. What would they say that you value? What are you about? Because that's the key. And so there's another passage I want to read. This is a passage that worked on me as we've done this past 21-day fast that we're finishing up. This passage really worked on me in my quiet time during that. It's 1 Chronicles 21. And Israel disobeyed, and so God sent this plague that was ravaging Israel. And here's what happened. It says, verse 18, "Then the angel of the Lord told Gad to instruct David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. So David went up to do what the Lord had commanded him through God, and Arauna, who was busy threshing wheat at the time, turned and saw the angel there, and his four sons who were with him ran away and hid. And when Arauna saw David approaching, he left the threshing floor and bowed down before David with his face to the ground." So God said, "Have David go here and build an altar for me." And so the king comes, and the boys and this farmer, they see the angel, they see David, and they all start to be afraid, and they fall on their face. And David said to Arauna, "Let me buy this threshing floor from you at its full price." This is the king. This is your king saying, "Hey, man, let me buy this from you full price. Then I will build an altar to the Lord so that he will stop this plague." And verse 23 says, "Take it, my lord, the king, and use it as you wish." Arauna said to David, "I will give you the oxen for the burnt offerings and the threshing boards for wood to build a fire on the altar and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give it all to you." So this guy's like, "You're the king. I'm not going to charge you. You're my king. You take it out here. Here's some oxen. Here's some wheat. I'll prepare it. King, just, do what you need to do." And I love what David says here. He says, "But King David replied to Arauna, 'No, I insist on buying it for the full price. I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord. I will not present burnt offerings that have cost me nothing.'" And man, that just is like, right there. I was just praying like it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. Like, this is really about, like, what is it in my life, in your life, what is it that cost us something for Jesus? Because I know there are times in my life where I might want to help somebody, but I'll be like, well, if I have enough left over, maybe. But what is it that's costing? You know, when I was first got into ministry, I dealt with this in a really practical way. I meet with everybody nonstop. I want you to know that, like, as a pastor, you just meet all the time. Like, you have meetings upon meetings upon meetings. And 99% of the people, you know what they want to do when you meet? They want to eat food. Am I right? That's like the great equalizer. Everybody's more comfortable. So I eat a lot, all right? And I'm out eating. And when I first started in ministry, it was like, I was like, man, I don't want to pay for this out of my pocket. The church needs to fit this bill, because that's a lot of stinking money. Like, I'm going out all the time. And you know what? Over the years, God really grew me, and I was reflecting on this. It was like, what is it that cost you for the Lord? So this past, I guess it's been 6 months or whatever, you know, the church has not paid for any meetings, any food for any staff, anything. We cut it all off so that we could be even better stewards and get us where we need to be. And so I just say that to try to be honest. Like, this is something that literally God is working on me. Like, what costs me something? And so I would ask you, what do you do? What do you give that costs something for you? We go on to authentic community. Authentic community, number four. The value of this is strictly that people matter and we need each other. No matter how strong or tough you think you are, we need each other. The strongest men, the strongest military soldiers I've ever seen, they still fall to depression. They still fall to anxiety. They still need people. And they may drown it in a bottle or whatever, but you know what? The toughest men ever still need someone to talk to. We need each other. John 13:34 says this, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples." So our love, that's authentic community begins there, with a love for each other, a genuine love. Now let me ask you this. What is it that keeps us from loving each other? Our sinful nature. Our sinful nature. Our bend towards, I would rather be in control, I would rather nobody be in my business, and I'd rather not have to answer to anybody. So we avoid authentic community like the plague. and we don't really need it until our life falls apart. When our life falls apart, that's when we really wish we had somebody to talk to. An authentic community, when we're in groups, check it. Here's the great thing. Look at this. Galatians chapter 6 says this. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. You can't carry anyone's burdens unless you know them. And it is within authentic community. It's within a group of people you're doing life with. They can know you, and you can know them, and you can carry each other's burdens as God has called us to. But if you don't have that, no one knows your burdens, and you don't know anybody else's, and this can't happen. And this is what happens, why so many people get mad and leave churches. Huh, no one came to the hospital. No one knew. No one had a clue. You don't tell anybody. You're not in a group. We don't know. Well, I just don't like it. I don't like people being up in my business. Well, that's your own problem. Spiritually speaking, because groups literally force us to face our selfishness and get out of ourselves. Because guess what? You're not just there for you, you're there for them. You're there to be a blessing to them and help them, not just you. And it forces us to get out of ourselves, something we all need. So authentic community is so important. Whose burdens are you carrying right now? And who's carrying yours? Something to think about. And then the last one, creativity. Creativity is the fifth value we have, that we like to do things to express the many gifts and the many different things that God has designed. We are like God. He created us in His image. And His creativity, have you ever seen it? Like, have you ever been, like, just in awe of His beauty of creation? Have you ever seen the snow-top mountains? Have you ever been to the ocean and saw how big it is and takes your breath away? I mean, the Amazon rainforest, the Sahara Desert, like His creativity knows no ends. And then look at the people He creates. And you're like, they're so different. Everyone's so different. And it's so awesome that we can be this different. Not everybody's the same. It would be so boring if everybody was the same. And everybody's different. And God shapes us. And in the Old Testament, Jeremiah used the image of the potter and the clay. And he said, we are the clay and God's the potter, and he forms all of us into different people with different gifts and with a different path. That's His creativity, and we value that. So those are the five values. I hope you can start to remember those. I don't expect you to remember them all today, but that's what helps us drive our decisions and stay on the path we've been called to. How we're structured, I think I get a lot of questions about this, how we're structured. We are elder-led. We have moved to elder-led. We were what was called pastor-led, but now we're elder-led, which means we have a team of lead pastors who lead, and in the next couple of months, we will be adding on to that an elder from the congregation. And so we will be, there'll be a rotation on that, but we are led by a group of men who God's given this vision to. And that is what we do. That's how we're structured. So a lot of people, when they ask questions about that, I just want you to know, right, that's how we are structured. We are led by a group of elders who handle the day-to-day business, okay? We also have ministry teams and small groups in place to help care for the body. So part of the small group's role is to help make sure everybody gets cared for and nobody falls through the cracks. And we're constantly trying to work on that. We're constantly trying to better that system. And we have a lot of ideas, but we also have ministry teams. We have children's teams. We have a student team. We have a missions team. We have a community outreach team. We have a security team. We have a buildings and grounds team. So we have all, these are all designed to help us function and be healthy and also take care of the body. So that's how we're structured. Then here's what we ask. I'm going to land it right here. Here's what we ask of our partners. So this is the final thing right here. Here's what we ask of anyone who partners with us. We ask that basically four things. We ask that you embrace the three C's. Easy to remember. So celebrate. We ask that you come and you celebrate with us, that you come on Sunday and be a part, and that you celebrate and you worship God. That's what we ask. Number two, connect. We ask that you would find biblical community, authentic community. We ask that you find a group, that you would join in one. So you can be healthy and you can be a blessing to others through that health. We ask that you contribute both by serving and giving. That's part of being the partner of how it is, that we share the responsibility, we shoulder it together. And then the fourth thing is we ask that you just help protect the unity of the church. That if there's issues, you go to the person and you talk to them about it. And that we don't backbite, we don't divide, we don't talk about each other. We want to handle it in a biblical Matthew 18 way. Those are the things that we ask of our partners. And if you feel like you want to be a partner today, then we would be glad to have you. We're not perfect by any means, but we are walking towards Jesus. Progress, not perfection. So with that said, I'm going to pray for us. And then, Jody, I'd like to have just some music a little bit, maybe a couple verses of a song, just for anyone who's here today that is going through something and you don't have anybody to bear your burden with you. We'll give you time to pray, and we'd be glad to bear it with you. We'll be glad to pray with you. You don't have to do it alone. So let's pray. Father, we come to you right now, and we thank you for this time. God, I thank you for the attentiveness. I thank you, God, for just what you're doing. I thank you for the vision. I thank you for the people. I thank you for all that you are putting together, God. At all of our campuses, God, that we can just see you lifted up.